It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM. Stream at listenlikealocal.com or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is David Faulkner along with Ken Simon. And tonight we'll be bringing you Packaging High School principal and county athletic director, Mr. Doug Brewer. We'll have him on here in a few minutes. But first, we'll give you a few updates on what we do know as far as sports is concerned. Again, the high school sports, I guess the mantra is still, we are still paused until, I think, on dead period until the 31st of May. There has been really, I haven't heard a discussion, we'll maybe learn more with Mr. Brewer about when a possible startup of the fall sport season would be. And I think we're still on a hold on that as of right now. We are in a phase one reopening at this point, which is really the bare basics, I guess, of medical openings. And a few businesses have got to open up with limited, like in restaurants. Is restaurants next week or the next phase?
I believe they're 2 weeks away, if I'm not mistaken. I was trying to actually find out and unsuccessful,
unfortunately.
And that's
only going to be like at 50% capacity, or that there's some way to be able to get you seated without you, with keeping the social distancing measures and protecting each of the workers and the people coming into the restaurant. So they won't be open for 100% capacities at the beginning, but they will be open for in-seat serving. I am sure the way that they're still doing it right now will still be a possibility, and probably the one that is most widely used by folks. I would think this curbside pickup is kind of working for retail stores as well as the food industry.
Yeah, under the circumstances, obviously, I know people would like to start getting out as opposed to delivery and or pickup. A little bit longer wait. I believe it's actually the 25th, if I'm not mistaken, as far as when restaurants will be in that particular phase. At least at this point, some manufacturing is back up, construction. I also know like around the 25th, barbershops, beauty shops, cosmetology, that type of thing will be open during that time period as well. I'm sure there are a lot of people interested in getting their hair cut, colored, whatever it is that people do.
Well, some of us have got a haircut. D cut my hair, and it was not professionally done, but it was at least a haircut. You look like you've had a haircut since the...
No, I think I'm going to let mine grow until school starts back up again and just call my COVID hair.
Yeah, I'm giving him a hard time again. But, you know, it's... You think about... Those things are normal to us, going to get a haircut, like once a month, whatever it is. Well, you don't have that opportunity to do that when they're all closed. And you know, I understand why we were closed. And if you listen to the professionals now, Dr. Fauci is actually at home because he is self-quarantined, or actually been told to quarantine because he's been in contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID. There are actually several people from the task force who have been in contact with a person who has been tested positive. I know the vice president, his number one aide, or one of his top aides, has contracted the virus. And I'm not sure he's in self-quarantine, but he is definitely taking tests multiple times to make sure that he doesn't have it. And the last meeting I saw of the COVID group, he and the two physicians were several feet apart with masks in their conference room with other people around, but they're far away. So those types of images that you can kind of put in your head and are that way. Dr. Fauci did an interview yesterday, I think it was, where he discussed if these states that are opening up now, which Kentucky would be one of those, go back too early. He looks for a really bad result. So I'm not sure what messages he gets to the president, but in his job, he sees this a very risky move for the states to reopen, or at least a full reopen, like some of the states have done. I know when I was checking the baseball and the sports status when I came in, Florida governor has opened his state up for sports teams. Now, that being said, I'm not sure the players want to go and open up yet, and it's kind of up to the players. I know we're talking about Major League Baseball in a moment, but Major League Baseball's talked about opening back up in July, but the players have to agree to open up because they don't want to risk themselves or other people around them. So there's more to this than what meets the eye.
Yeah, and Arizona is another one of those states where the governor has, you know, kind of opened up as far as professional sports. Going back to the White House and the task force, in a sense, it always surprised me when all of this first started that they were not social distancing, that they were not wearing masks. They're telling everybody else to do that, but yet collectively as that group, they were not heeding their own advice and what they were actually telling us. So that kind of surprised me. To that extent, it doesn't surprise me now that someone close, you know, in the West Wing or an aide or whatever it might be, that actually has, you know, potentially contracted this, and now all of a sudden everyone is self-quarantining. But I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long for them to get to that point.
I honestly believe some of those folks probably were wearing masks until they went out to the conference rooms, is what they were saying they were doing. And I'm not sure if the leadership probably didn't want them to go out in masks, because, you know, I'm not knocking the president. This isn't a political statement, but I don't think that he wanted the fear out in the world, if you will, that we're afraid of this thing. In actuality, we probably should be.
At least a healthy respect.
Yes, and I know when Governor Beshear goes on with his daily things, he's not wearing a mask when he is giving his speech, but he wears a mask to the room, only takes the mask off when he speaks. It's just like now this partial open up. When you go into a store, when you go into a business now, you are required or supposed to be required to wear a mask. Last week, you weren't required to wear the mask, which really makes no sense. They only ask you, recommended a mask. But when you go into stores, it said you must wear a mask to enter this building, and the businesses themselves aren't enforcing their own rules. That in lies a problem with this. What do you do with customers who go into a store or a business without a mask? Do you say you need to leave? This is the rules, and what do you do?
That's a tough question, right? I mean, that's a tough one to answer, because on one hand, people are going to say, I have a right to wear it or not wear it. That is my personal choice. Even though there are highly recommended guidelines, in a sense, you know, people are either going to adhere to it or they're not, and they're going to make up their mind. The problem that I have with that is that there are people that are out there that are coughing, you know, along those lines, that are not wearing masks. At that point, you need to be wearing the mask. You know, again, it's to protect others as well as yourself. You know, it's a two-way street, in a sense, and you have to do those things. And those people who are being negligent, that therein lies a problem for me anyway.
Well, the problem I have with it is this. It's a requirement for the businesses to open to require their customers wear a mask. If their customers aren't wearing masks, maybe they need to shut their business back down because they're not following the protocol they should. That's where the state would then step in and say, look, you're not following protocol. You're not responsible enough to keep you open, so we're going to close you back down. So I think there's a little bit of that maybe should happen, because I think we're still in a point to where the numbers aren't going down in Kentucky. We've plateaued, but we're not, like, decreasing the numbers. So wherever we are, wherever we stand on that is what it is. And a new thing came out last night by the National Institute of Health, a group out of Washington. In the last 2 weeks, their prediction of deaths has gone up over 10,000. In the last 2 weeks, it's now up to 147,000 predicted deaths, and I think it was 3 weeks ago, it's gone up like 30,000 people in the last 3 weeks, because some states have opened back up and they've seen more cases. So now they're predicting more deaths than they were 3 weeks ago. That tells me that we may be opening up a little early.
Well, and obviously a lot more people are being tested here in Kentucky.
Yes,
over 117,000 people have been tested, over 7,000 positive cases. I think the more and more people being tested, obviously those numbers in turn are going to go up. It still goes back to the trickiness of being asymptomatic.
Yes.
So therefore, at that point, do you have it, you know, not necessarily showing signs? And then at that point, is it potentially, you know, ending up you're infecting someone else under those circumstances? So again, I think, too, there's a false sense here anyway. I think at least from where down the Mountain Parkway and going east, let's say, because there have been very few cases with the exception of like Jackson and places like that. I think there's a false sense of security, if you will, where people think, oh, well, there's not really any cases. It's not necessarily affecting us, when you can't necessarily even think along those lines. Again, we have to be diligent and keep, you know, steady as the course, in a sense, and kind of play along with that. And now, unfortunately, now there's something that's infecting children.
Yes.
At a young age. That's a whole new thing that's kind of going on with children.
And that's just coming out in the last few days.
Yeah. So under those circumstances, you know, again, we have to be careful. Everyone has to do their job in order to protect each other and ultimately protect our communities, our counties, and hopefully everybody, again, kind of sticks to the plan and continues to move forward despite the opening up of the state.
Yeah, if you look back at the timeline of this whole thing back in January, you know, we started with one or two cases, and we went to growth and growth and growth, and by middle of February, there still weren't a lot of cases. There weren't a lot of concern, really, by the government. And then even March, beginning of March, still thought it would kind of go away. And it hasn't gone away, and it's only gotten worse. And I don't think that we have hit it in the head like we thought it would. And what the doctor said yesterday, they aren't as sure that the heat of the summer will kill this out like the flu dies out in the summer. This thing is projected now to go on throughout the summer, and so if that's the case, then we are probably fighting a losing battle if we're not careful. So we're going to step away with a break here, come back with Principal and County Athletic Director Doug Brewer here in a moment here on PCSN with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The COVID virus is presenting challenges all over the world, all over our country, all over the state, and even all over our county. Nobody understands this better than Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, right off the Mountain Parkway exit 22 in Stanton. As part of the closure of non-essential businesses, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, for the safety of their employees, their customers, and their community, is going to be closing until further notice. Of course, Daryl's primary concern is his 23 employees at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, taking care of them and their families. He loves this community, and he's proud to be a local business owner. So remember, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram encourages you to care for your family and loved ones during this time.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like Phone Smart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless wants to know if you're tired of settling. Settling for a phone you didn't really want because it was more about the cost of the device rather than the phone you really wanted. Well, Appalachian Wireless has the solution, and it's called the Appalachian Advantage. With Advantage, every phone model is back on the table because you only have to pay the taxes on the device you really want. Many of our hottest smartphones are less than $50 up front, then a few extra dollars on your monthly bill with Appalachian Advantage. Payment agreement is required. See store for complete details.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine. Faster, closer, better.
All right, I think we are. Are you still there, Mr. Brewer?
Yes, sir.
I did a successful transfer. I am so lucky. All right, first of all, how have you been doing?
Been great. Been a busy few weeks getting ready for our alternate graduation. That's sort of consuming our time right now at the high school, but we're willing to put in the hours and make sure these kids get exactly what they deserve in rough times, so to speak.
Yeah, Mr. Simon has just come in, I guess, from the Bowen Kindergarten graduation ceremony, and tomorrow they'll have their fifth grade graduation ceremonies. So
promotion. Let's call it a promotion.
Promotion. There we go. So you're the graduation dates for the high school. What are those and the times?
May 19th, 20th, and 21st, and each day that runs from 1 to 7. And our senior homeroom teachers have been making contact with their homeroom students, give them the exact time they're supposed to report to the high school. That way we don't have a lot of people in the parking lot, and we don't have a lot of people waiting, and it will keep everything flowing pretty smooth for us for each day.
So have you, I guess you've been in contact with the teachers about who they have contacted maybe and who they haven't as of yet?
Yeah, they maintain a spreadsheet that's shared among the administration and the senior homeroom teachers. So they keep updating that spreadsheet as they contact students, and we can monitor that spreadsheet to see who has and who hasn't been contacted.
Okay, so that gives you all the flexibility. If you all need to, you all can step in and then make the contacts, correct?
Exactly, yeah. And that our last resort attempt is to actually make home visits for those who have not been contacted.
And that hasn't started as of yet?
No, it hasn't. But after we see what happens with the list tomorrow, we're going to start looking at doing that Friday and Monday.
That sounds good. And what, again, are the restrictions for the families? We'll make sure that they'll get the restriction on here as well.
Well, there are four family members per graduate. So a total of five, including the graduate, can come into the building. They will have to wear masks when they're in the building. However, the graduate will get to remove their mask for their pictures. So we've been given the okay for them to remove their mask for that. So, and we'll have people in the building directing people exactly where to go. That way there won't be, the line flows smoother that way, and it's more efficient. And that way we don't have people that are actually gathering when they shouldn't be gathering.
Right, so when they come into the building, they'll have a certain place they need to go step by step throughout the building before they exit again, correct?
Right, yes, and they'll be escorted or directed by our staff each step of the way.
So a staff member with the group the entire way through the process?
Once the graduate leaves the stage, there'll be a staff member that will escort them through the rest of the school. When they enter the gym, there'll be two staff members in there. One will be responsible for telling the graduate where they're supposed to go. The other staff member will be responsible for telling the family, the four family members, where they're supposed to go in the gym, and then where they're supposed to exit the gym.
And the reason we need these protocols for the parents, and I know people want to bring in six or seven or eight or whatever that may be for their family. I know it's a tough decision for them, but they also have to understand we are limited to 10, correct? No more than 10.
That's correct.
In the area.
Right.
So that's the reason for the four. correct?
That's right. So we'll have a total of 10 people in the gym, which will include the five, the graduate and the four family members. And also it will include the videographer. It will include Mr. Lynn and myself on the stage along with the videographer. Then that also includes the two staff members in the gym that will be directing the families as to where to go.
And in the past, a normal graduation, the kids only got four tickets for the lower gym anyway, correct?
They receive six.
Okay. So this is
six
a reduction.
For the lower gym.
This will be a reduction of what it was in the past then for the lower arena.
Right. If this was a normal graduation, they would receive six tickets per family member. We always fill the gym to capacity every year. But this is definitely not a normal year, though.
Okay. Anything else as far as restrictions that we want the folks to know about?
Well, we will have a radio feed set up to the vehicles, and they're going to tune in to 92.1, and we'll have a sign in the parking lot telling them where to tune to, and we'll give directions over the radio.
Okay.
So they'll be given directions as to when to line up in the bus lane, and then they'll be in their vehicle until they're asked to exit the vehicle to go into the gym, and we'll have people in the front area helping them with that.
Is there any video feed of any of this, or is that a possibility at all?
We're exploring the idea of doing a Facebook Live, but we still haven't got determination yet as to if we can stream a Facebook Live video for six straight hours.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to have another staff member in there monitoring an iPad broadcasting Facebook Live. We would rather have a stationary post for that unmanned. That way we're not eliminating another family member from coming into the gym, basically.
Right.
So we can only have 10.
I didn't know if I know you already got a camera set up in the gym, but it shows to the cafeteria, that feed, and you have one in your office, but there's no way, I guess, without another source, you'd have to have someone else in there to monitor that, I guess, right?
That's right, yes.
So what kind of steps as far as the Facebook Live, is that actually reaching out to Facebook to get some kind of clarity if something like that is allowed?
No, we're going through our CIO.
Okay.
She's investigating that right now. She's going to find that information out for us, and we'll know by Friday whether we can do that or not. It's something we want to do, but we don't want to have to put another person in the gym to do that.
Right. I mean, that to me would be the only other way visually to send that out to folks. I mean, radio's nice, and we work for radio, but it doesn't give you what a lot of people want, which is a visual look about what's going on. However, there's not really a lot going on ceremonial anyway, correct?
No, it's pretty low-key. You know, we'll have pomp and circumstance playing while the graduates are in there, but it won't look like the normal scene you would see at a graduation.
Okay.
It will be decorated, but you know what makes graduation so impactful is just the amount of people that are there.
Correct.
And so they won't get to experience that, which is very unfortunate.
So you'd actually mentioned that this is taking place over the course of 3 days. So how many graduates are there in this class? And then as far as how many numbers are you expecting to get through each day?
We have 155 total that are graduating, and it's different for each day. One day we have Tuesday we'll have 55, and I may get these numbers off just a little bit, and then we're trying to have the same amount on each day, but it's going to be off just a little bit. But Thursday we'll have have around 45 on Thursday.
But that's probably best for you guys that way. If you need extra time, you'll have it there at the end.
Right. And we've done several walkthroughs and timed how long it will take for each graduate and their family to go through each stage of what we have planned for them. And we're allotting, and I know this doesn't sound like a lot of time, but it really is. We're allotting 6 minutes per graduate. And whenever we did the walkthrough, and we took it slow, and it took us 5 minutes, 25 seconds was the last time that we had.
Yeah, It's kind of like doing a commercial on radio. You think 30 seconds is a very short amount of time until you actually try to do a commercial, and 30 seconds is a long time.
That's exactly right. I was shocked whenever we finished. I thought it would take about 10 minutes.
Even when there's silence, on the radio, those 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds can be a long time at times.
Yes.
That's moving that. That's actually giving people really plenty of time. And obviously, you all have tested that. But I mean, to me today, we doing the kindergarten promotion ceremony today, we'd allocated 30 minutes for 5 separate families in a sense, and we basically were ended up with an extra 10 and 15 minutes because it didn't take nearly as long as we actually had planned for either. So I mean, your 6 minutes, that should be plenty of time, even though people will be taking their time in a sense to get the pictures, etc.
So basically, you were given 6 minutes, only took you 3.
Yeah, roughly. Yeah.
And at the end, it's a lot of time. You could either save or waste it, however you want to look at it.
Right. Yeah.
Can you stay with us for a little bit longer?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a step away for a break. We'll come back and got a few more questions for you as far as the principal end. Then we'll get into the athletics as well here in a few minutes. So we'll be taking a break here on PCSN with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
All right, I always start a little early. Welcome back to PCSN with Dave and Ken. We've got principal at the high school, Doug Brewer, on the line with us. So, Mr. Brewer, again, we always have our summa cum laude, magna cum laude. How will that play out at all, and the honors?
Well, we've hired a videographer, and he is being very creative in how he presents this. I don't want to give too much away because I want this to be a big surprise for the kids, but we're putting together something very, very special for them for this graduation. So I will say there will be valedictorian speeches, but probably unlike any you've seen before.
So it won't be part of your process that you're doing next week at the high school.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Actually, we have 606 Productions doing the videography, and they've already been working for 2 weeks on this. So, and they'll be in there during graduation, they'll be filming during that time, and then but the final product's going to be something that's really special.
Oh, I think so, too. I know they do a wonderful job. I didn't know if they would do anything. You all have anything that you're having an honors night as well at the high school, right?
Yeah, we have honors night Monday night.
Okay. And that's going to
be.
Go ahead.
That'll be Facebook Live. And it'll just be our staff, well, our administrative staff in there, in the library, and we will be awarding the scholarships during that time.
So the students won't be part of that process?
No, they can't be in the building. They'll be considered a gathering.
Okay.
So normally we will have anywhere from 60 to 75 students in the gym on honors night.
Right.
And so we can't have that many at the same time. So they can watch on Facebook Live, and they'll know what scholarships they receive and the awards they receive.
Okay. Now
during that time, will they know? They won't know prior, correct?
No, they don't on a regular honors night. They don't know prior. Now some of them would know. For example, a student who received the Regent Scholarship from EKU, they know that ahead of time.
Sure.
Yeah.
But as far as local scholarships or Clark Energy, they don't know that ahead of time.
They just know they get invited to the honors night, but not sure why they're invited, correct?
Exactly. In a normal year during graduation week, we would give them a red ticket, a red honors night ticket, which just tells them you're getting something. We're not going to tell you what it is, but make sure you're there because you're getting something.
So, I guess they'll just receive the rewards on a regular basis, come to high school, pick it up at a later time, and still go through
right.
some safety protocol.
Yes, we'll schedule a time for them to come in, and we'll still follow all the safety protocols that we're following on a day-to-day basis now.
Well, that actually, I'm sure under the circumstances, you all are doing the best that you can. Obviously, by even including Facebook Live for something like that, where they know to tune in, basically, be prepared. And obviously, as you mentioned, some will be obviously surprised. Some will have already been notified, in a sense, as you mentioned, the Regents-type scholarships, things along that line. But still being innovative and creative in a new way as far as trying to reach these students. What are some other things that are even going on along those lines? Are there any other groups that you all have outside of the honors group and obviously the graduates? Any other activities or things of groups that would be recognized in any particular way?
None that are being recognized. That's mostly what we do on honors night. And, of course, during the graduation video, there will be individuals recognized. And even some staff that are recognized as well. We are doing our senior breakfast door prize giveaway Friday afternoon at 2. That's going to be on Facebook Live. Excited about that. I always have fun with that every year. So, but again, they'll have to watch the feed to see what prize they win, and they will actually get to pick up that prize during their graduation ceremony. So that's one of the last things they do before they leave the building is pick up their prize, and they'll take it out the door with them before they leave.
So when you mention prizes, without kind of giving anything away, like things that have been donated by, local businesses, individuals, like where do these things come from?
From a few different sources. We have staff members that buy gifts and donate. We have businesses that donate for this event, and in addition to that, the seniors do fundraisers throughout the year, and that money goes toward those prizes as well.
And is there any?
We have.
Sorry. Go ahead.
You're fine. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, is there anything else for the seniors that they need to know for next week that we're going to be doing? And then we'll get into the sports bar here in just a second.
If they could just come to our drive-through Friday from 11 to 1, we give out so much information in that drive-through. And if they could come through Friday morning, we're going to give out, of course, more prizes that are donated by businesses, and we'll give out some food Friday afternoon. In addition to that, we're giving out instructions for graduation, and we're giving out cords Friday as students come through. They're honor cords. Beta stoles, I mean, various cords that they've earned through clubs or through some of their classes. So we would love to see 155 roll through that Friday. We had 91 last Friday. So we'd love to see 155 roll through, though.
So if there's anything that our folks, our listeners can get out of this, is please make sure to let these graduates know. Come by Friday from 11 to 1. Make sure you pick up this basic information or your stuff that you need to wear for your graduation process starting next week.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back with you more, and we'll talk sports here in just a moment here on PCSN with Dave and Ken.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and we're also being joined by Packet High School Principal, Mr. Doug Brewer. He is also County Athletic Director, so that's where I want to go now, Mr. Brewer, is, well, first of all, I want to thank you as a teacher and as a substitute teacher for the years that I have worked with you at the high school as a high school principal. I think you were a phenomenal principal, and I know you're moving on, but can you tell the folks about a little bit about the move?
Yeah, well, first, I appreciate that. That really means a lot. So I'm going to be the new director of Buildings and Grounds, Transportation, and Athletics. I'll take over that role on July 1st officially.
Well, again, as a high school coach and teacher, you're going to be really missed. But I'm sure they'll find someone to fill the bill. But again, you'll be really missed because I think you're probably one of the best principals as far as the kids is concerned that I've had the pleasure to work with. So again, thank you for the time that you had with us. And I know you're still going to be around, but you'll be missed at the high school, I do believe, sir.
Yeah, it'll be a different capacity, and I can tell you, I miss the kids. You know, it's we had no idea that when the kids left on March 6th that they wouldn't be back.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't know, and we didn't know that the kids wouldn't be back. So, you know, that closure, the seniors haven't had a chance to have closure, staff hasn't had a chance to have closure, because it's closure to every year. It comes in different forms. So for me, you know, I don't get a chance to tell my students goodbye, and, you know, that's something I would have really wanted to do, because they're a great group. You know, we're so fortunate here in Powell County to have the kids that we have. I say that year in and year out, that we have really good kids in our school system. In this county, they don't get the credit they deserve, and a lot of times, you know, there's a knock on teenagers that's definitely not deserved. But we have great kids there at school. We have great staff, too. I'm going to miss both parts of it quite a bit.
You know, I know, like you said, our kids get a bad rep sometimes. And if you talk to teachers who have left Powell County, gone to other districts, they always come back to you and say, man, those kids at Powell County were really a lot better than what we have now. And it surprised them to what they've left and what they get to. And they're kind of, they look back at the Powell County kids and say, man, they're really a good group of kids. And that's almost everyone that leaves here.
Yeah, I hear that a lot myself.
And it's
from former teachers.
So I think that gives everybody here more hope than what you would think that comes out of Powell County. We do have a good school system, and there's more to school than just the academics. And, again, that's what we want to talk a bit about now is the sports. And I'll go at it this way. We've missed our spring sports and missed the end of the I guess the basketball championships, really all we missed in basketball season. Have you heard any information about a restart or when activities can resume at a partial amount?
As of right now, we're still in our dead period until the end of this month. And then we haven't heard anything new coming from KHSAA about what their plans are moving into June. My thoughts are is that they're probably working on that real hard right now to try to figure out what they plan to do. But if you listen to what Julian Tackett says, he's not optimistic about fall sports.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to football. Now he did say that with golf and with cross country, he can see how those sports could operate and still maintain the guidelines in relation to social distancing. But with volleyball and with football, that's much more difficult.
And cheerleading in the same, I guess, in the same lot as well, right?
Right. Yes. Because of the proximity. When cheerleaders practice, they're practicing close to each other.
Right.
When they're cheering close to each other. So it affects that sport as well.
So I guess I'll ask this as a golf coach. The playing of golf is not that much of a problem. Talking to your kids, you'd have to have them spaced out to have a discussion, I would assume. If golf was one of those sports that you could go do what you're doing, there's ways that you could distance yourself to have a discussion and then send them out, even individually, if you had to go play. Those are some things that I guess you would have to do as golf would result, right?
Yeah, and you also have to look at the regulation with the cart.
Yeah.
Only one person in per cart, which you guys walk the course mostly, so. You guys are in carts.
No. Well, they are supposed to walk during an event. Somehow we let them walk to practice, ride to practice, but mm-hmm. theoretically you need to really walk to practice, which means if the kids were playing in a group of two, for an example, it's when you get off the tee, you're okay. When you get on the green, you have a little bit of an issue, but you can stand far enough apart. And with the new golf rule where you can leave the pin in, they're asking now to leave the pin in when you putt because they don't want everybody touching the same pin, which makes sense as well. So I understand where they can see golf being able to perform, but would it really be fair if one sport could perform without the rest of them? I don't know if the KHSA would decide to allow any sport to go, or you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and which whenever Commissioner talks, everything is speculation, and it's just and he talks in terms of this is what we're thinking, this is what we've been discussing, but nothing, and he can't put out anything concrete right now because
Correct.
we don't know the ramifications of opening up. Is going to have, and that's what they're waiting to see as well as the NCAA. And I think what KHSA is doing, they look at the NCAA for guidelines, which they should. But, I can't imagine the high schools doing things that go above what the NCAA is allowing. So they, I assume that they work together, but that's something we just don't know right now. And I think that KHSA is doing a good job of waiting and being patient and not jumping into any kind of decision. Thankfully, they do have the spring to sit back and monitor what's going on, and then they can make some educated decisions in June.
Yeah, and I know normally our sports seasons start, and I guess 15 years ago, I didn't have to worry about it as much because you only had your period of time. Now, the season pretty much runs all year except for the June dead period. That being said, most of these guys that are coaching, as far as football, volleyball, cheer, soccer, all the fall sports that you would have at the high school would be kind of training, I guess, at the middle of June. So, really, there's no push until June, I guess. I don't know, in the football, you won't be in the weight room as soon as you can, but we still have a coach to fill, and those are some things. If you want to talk about any of that as well,
I can talk about the coach if you don't care.
Go right ahead.
So I do have some breaking news to share. We actually interviewed today, and I'm excited to announce that we've hired Mike Jones as our head football coach.
And Mike Jones, formerly of Estill County, and I think last year was at Montgomery as an assistant.
Yes, he helped Montgomery last year.
So that's I think that's an awesome hire. In my opinion, is to say, we're talking about an experienced head coach in football. He coached Estill County for years over there, and now I think they live in Powell County, right?
They do, yeah.
So and here's a guy with football knowledge. Now, I guess if you talk about football, you all probably have this discussion on when he could get started. And I guess it's the same answer you're kind of giving us. You can't really do anything until we get the green light, right?
Yeah, really the only thing that he can do right now is contact his players, make contact with them either through a text, phone, or Zoom, and kind of introduce himself to his players in that capacity. Can't do any coaching, evaluating, anything like that. It's just basically now just starting what's really important is building those relationships.
Now, is there – go ahead.
And I'm excited for him. I think he's going to do a great job. I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of conversations with him over the past year to sort of pick his brain and you know, get an idea of what kind of guy he is. And he is – he's a top-notch guy. He's all about the kids. He's all about being a mentor. He's all about developing young men. In addition to that, you know, he plays the type of offense that's going to win ball games.
Yeah. And it's similar to what we've seen in the past.
It is. It's that offense that used to frustrate us on the other side of the ball.
Yes. And as a radio guy, we've talked about this in the past. And Powell County dealt with the belly a little bit with Tony. When we watched Estill County, it's the same kind of look. You really don't know who's got the ball, and sometimes we get lost, which is what you want to create on the other team. So.
Exactly.
It will be I think it'll be a great venture. I know I've talked to some of the radio guys and some of the guys from Estill County, and they were telling me when they knew that we had an opening, they said, I got a guy I think would be a perfect fit for you guys, and he'd probably be willing to take the job. And they said, Mike Jones. I said, I think he would be an awesome fit. I think you and I had even talked about he would be a good fit, and I'm glad he's accepted the position, and now we can move forward there.
Right, yeah. That position's been posted for a while. And I'm glad it's filled now. Now we can start putting pieces in place little by little. We'll do what we're allowed to do and still stay within the guidelines of dead period. But I know he wants to get in the field house and start looking at what he has to work with and what he needs to order, and we'll go from there.
What about the two assistant football coaches? Any progress on those two positions, or now will it be a matter of working with Coach Jones and trying to, you know, see what he's interested in kind of bringing in?
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I told him that, you know, those positions have been posted, but I would never hire an assistant coach for a head coach. I believe strongly that you let your head coach pick the assistants. And so now he is going to be networking and working on filling those two positions. And maybe a few, and bring on a few more people as well who might want to help out. So I fully support the head coach hiring their assistants.
So what about even the middle school? The middle school looking for a head football coach as well. So what's the status of that?
Well, I reposted that position last week, and so I'm gonna see what interest we have in that. I do have a couple of people that I do plan to talk to. To see if they're interested in that position. I want somebody that's going to have a good relationship with their high school head coach to make sure we have continuity between both programs. That's hugely important. It's important in every sport, but especially important in football with all the different terminology, the different plays that they run. You want a kid who's going from middle school, whenever they hear something like 23 blast in middle school, then that's what they're running at high school, and it's not foreign terminology to them. That they will, that's less time that the coaches have to spend teaching new terminology. They can be teaching something else at the same time.
Yeah, really just that continuity across the line. On one hand, we almost need that in every sport, don't we?
We do. And that's something that I'm going to work to foster in the years coming.
So one more position that's actually posted as well, the assistant boys soccer coach there at the high school, working with Mr. Lane. Any progress on that, Phil?
Actually, that should have been taken down. We hired Claire Charles. She's our history teacher at the high school, and she was hired for that position last week. She has a strong soccer background. She played soccer all through high school and actually helped with the girls' team last year. And so she's taking that position, and Coach Turner, he's happy to have her.
I have a question, I guess, based on the first part on the two assistants that you talked about. Are there positions open at the high school for teaching, or will these just be positions for coaching?
Well, we have teaching positions open. We have an English position open, and we have a math position open. So if someone applied that was also would effectively fulfill one of those roles, I could see that happening.
And those can be difficult roles to fill, as we've had trouble with those two roles in the past.
They are normally English teachers and football coaches don't go hand in hand. I only know of one that's an assistant coach that Mike Whitaker had at one time. He was also an English teacher, and from what I understand was a really good English teacher. Was defensive coordinator for Coach Whitaker. Have a coach, they're usually a special ed teacher or a history teacher or health and PE. Those two usually go hand in hand.
Yeah, all the coaches want to go the PE route, right?
Well, yeah, used to. But I think that certification is a little more difficult now.
Well, it's always difficult to find a job in that area. I mean, those jobs, once you get them, they're kind of there for 25-plus years. So it's kind of hard to fill the positions when you don't have one.
It is, and that's with this position, there was two different ways we could go with it. We could go with someone who doesn't require a teaching position, which is Mike's situation, Coach Jones, or we could have went with someone who was a teacher and a coach and could fulfill a position that we had. And I just feel really comfortable with the route we went with this with Coach Jones.
Oh, I think it's a wonderful hire, and hopefully we'll maybe have him on here maybe for a show in the future. Any parting words you'd like to share with us as far as graduation, sports, anything at all you want to talk about for the next? I give you whatever time you want here.
Well, as far as sports goes, I'm not a big Facebook guy. But I think something the county has needed for a while is a Powell County athletic page. And so I've started constructing that page. It's not ready to be shared or ready to invite friends, so to speak. But I'm gonna have that starting very soon. And I want to use it to keep everybody informed on our athletics, to promote our athletes, promote our teams, and get that out to as many people as possible. So that's something I'm working on. Again, I'm not the Facebook guy, but I'm going to learn. And in addition to that, with the new role that I'm moving, new position I'm moving into, I was thinking about this the other day that usually people will roll into new positions and there's issues that need to be fixed or there's problems or there's staffing issues, and I was thinking about how blessed I am that I'm moving into this buildings and grounds transportation athletics position, and I'm not moving into that. Our maintenance staff they're second to none.
Yep.
I'm going into that position knowing I've got really great people that I'll be working with, and that everything's flowing so smooth in the district right now on the maintenance level that there's no issues there. And then on the flip side of that, the transportation part of it, I've known those bus drivers for a long time, and we have phenomenal bus drivers that love our kids, and there's no issues going into the transportation aspect of it as well. So I'm really lucky that I'm not having to fix any problems, because no problems exist. Everything's running smooth and efficiently, And so I'll go in and just trying to enhance what the good people who are working there have already started.
And I think you have an upper hand, too, on the athletics, because you've been doing the athletic director job as well as the principal's job for a few years now.
Yes, and that's a lot of work. I got to laugh. I went to a workshop last year, and the presenter was talking about jobs in the district. And he said, I'm just going to tell everybody sitting here the two toughest jobs in any school district are high school principal and athletic director. And I said, oh, boy, that's me all in one.
Yes. Yep.
But you know, they're both very rewarding, though. Being able to interact with those kids every day and work with the staff that we had has just been, it's been a blessing. And in addition to that, you know, the coaches and that we have, you know, I work with you guys all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's you guys are just a great group to work with because your focus is where it should be. You know, we don't have any egos with our coaches. Our coaches are dedicated to the kids and dedicating to winning and building character within those kids. It's I'm blessed. I really am. I can't wait to get started in this other role.
Well, again, on behalf of us here, I know we have thoroughly enjoyed you in your old position. Again, you went from a middle school teacher to a high school, assistant principal, or no?
Yes.
And then the principal, mm-hmm. And now you're moving on to the central office and the positions that you have now. It's been, again, wonderful working with you, and I want to again thank you for the years that we've spent together, became friends, and hopefully maybe get to go to a Reds game sometime. Both of us, I know, Reds fan. We won't take Ken because he's a Cardinals fan, you know.
I make no apologies.
that would be great. That'd be great, and I appreciate that. I did. It means the world to be appreciated in that way.
Well, I mean, if other folks don't, then they're missing out anyway. So it's their loss. It's no big deal. I will still go up the road toward the creek, and we'll be all fine with that, right?
That's exactly right. No better place than the creek.
All right, brother. Well, take care, and good luck with your new job. And we'll be talking to you soon. And good luck with the graduation next week.
All right, thank you, Dave. Take care, Ken.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
Right, see you guys.
See you.
Bye.
All right, high school principal Doug Brewer, as well as going to be the new county athletic director, buildings and grounds and transportation director. I think he will do a wonderful job in that new job that he has. And, again, he will be missed at the high school. But with promotions and things like that, then other people move in to new roles, and we'll find out who that person is probably within the next few weeks as the high school principal's job. Again, I think it is one of the toughest jobs in the district, and I think Doug did a phenomenal job for the years he was here, and it's just very, very nice to work with a gentleman that of his stature at the high school.
I totally agree. Stand-up guy. Again, that to me is the toughest job in the district, the high school principal, by far. Listen, the commitment. I mean, how many times at games we would see him every game practically. I mean, it was rarely that he wouldn't be there, and something obviously was happening, a meeting or something. Who knows for us not to see him at any number of games, no matter if it was softball, baseball, football, basketball, volleyball. I mean, he was there all the time, committed, dedicated, and obviously we wish him nothing but the best moving into these new roles and realize that he'll do a stand-up job as well.
He is, again, as far as the kids are concerned, I don't know if anybody is more stand-up for the kids than Doug and his staff as well. So it's going to be some tough shoes to fill for the new hire at the high school, but again, things go on. Again, it's just life. It's a new process. It's you know, Mr. Brewer's going to get a promotion, which if it's a promotion, you know, he gets to go and do something different, which I think is awesome for him. New start, fresh start for him, and I wish him the best. But again, a great interview tonight, and got a lot of information about the graduation process next week and some things that are actually going on this week. So Friday from 11 to 1, you can pick up your information, your cords, anything that you're going to get like that. Go Friday from 11 to 1 if you're out there listening to us. Please pass that on to a 2020 graduate if they don't already have that information. And listening to us here, we get some value out of putting this on radio.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Again, It's unfortunate the things that have happened, but the fact that everyone has been so flexible, so understanding. Again, even the ceremony that we had today with kindergarten, basically flawless, to be honest with you. I mean, the parents were great. The kids were great. Hopefully that's the case, across the district in a sense. But obviously everybody's been adjusting to the nature of things that are going on. It's unfortunate again. But even the interviews that we've had with these seniors over the past weeks, I mean, we talked about the kids in this community, the kids that we've interviewed. To me, that's just a cosm of the overall picture of the type of kids that we have in this community and the ones that we were able to interview. Again, realizing it's a small sample, but well represented by all means.
They are a good sample size for what this senior class has been, and there are a lot of other stories out there with this class. But for them, I think they've had some good spokespeople so far. Again, we hope to maybe have the track folks on here and try to get them on next week. We haven't forgot about you. We just kind of went in a different order, but hopefully have Mr. Clapp and the track seniors on the next week or so. So amongst your graduation, maybe spend some time with us here on WSKV and PCSN with Dave and Ken. So for tonight, for Ken, this is David Fauner. We will talk to you guys next week here on PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcasts. 104.9.